The Mary Lee Taylor Program. Brought to you by Pet Milk, the first evaporated milk. Yes, welcome to the Mary Lee Taylor Program, featuring the story of the week about Jim and Sally Carter and the pet milk recipe of the week. The big news about the Carters is the recent arrival of 6-pound Betsy Carter. And here's some more big news. Mary Lee Taylor and her staff have just completed one of the grandest 16-page recipe books you've ever seen. It's called New Ideas for Everyday Meals. And in it, you'll find plans for complete, easy-to-fix meals, recipes for everything from one-dish dinners to delicious make-ahead-of-time desserts. You won't want to miss getting this newest Mary Lee Taylor book, so send for it today. Just address a postcard to Mary Lee Taylor, care of this station, or to Pet Milk, St. Louis, Zone 1, Missouri, and ask for New Ideas. And now it's Mary Lee on NBC, and here she is.
Hello, this is Mary Lee Taylor. When you're the mother of a tiny baby, it's easy to make the mistake Sally Carter made. What the mistake was and what Sally did about it, you'll hear in just a minute. But first, a promise that right after the story, I'm going to give you a brand new recipe for a delicious cake that even a beginner can make. Apricot upside down cake.
And wait till you see the color photograph of this dessert in the new book. It's really a beauty.
Yes, and it's hard to believe such a marvelous dessert can be made for as little as 57 cents. But that's the truth.
If you use Mary Lee Taylor's recipe and Pet Milk. Pet Milk's a big money saver, you know, actually costs less than any other form of milk. And you certainly get a lot in one of those handy cans of Pet Milk. Bodybuilding protein, minerals that help prevent tooth decay, vitamins. All these you get in double measure in Pet Milk, because Pet Milk, the first evaporated milk, is concentrated to double richness.
And by the way, in the new Pet Milk recipe book, you'll find many recipes that are perfect to use when you want to fix a meal for just two people. In fact, most of the recipes give the different amounts of ingredients needed for making just two servings or four servings or six servings.
Which is another reason why you'll want to send for this new book today. And now let's get along to Capital City for today's chapter in the life of Jim, Sally, and little Betsy Carter.
Sally's baby is a few days old now, and the general excitement is beginning to subside. Sally's mother has gone home to look after her own family for a few days. She'll be back when Sally leaves the hospital. Jim has proudly passed out cigars and endured the new father jokes at the office and is back on the job full time. But Sally is still in a rosy land of her own, bounded north, south, east, and west by baby Betsy. It is now the evening visiting hour at the hospital, and Jim is there with Aunt Sophie, who has come by train from Midland just to see the baby.
My, it was nice of you to make the trip, Aunt Sophie, just to see Betsy, wasn't it, Jim?
Well, people go to see the Grand Canyon, and it's nothing compared to Betsy.
Quite right, Jim.
Then you have seen her?
Yes, on the way in. A nurse held her up for us. Besides, she's in a front row crib, right up close to the glass. I looked at her a long time.
Well, the better-looking ones are in the front row, I figured, like in a chorus. Oh,
Jim, you know that has nothing to do with it. The new ones are always up front. What's she doing?
Sleeping, looking like a cherub.
Oh, I'll be so glad when I get her home and can take care of her myself. I scarcely see her now.
And by the way, Sal, guess who's come to town? Chet Lawton. You remember me talking about him, one of my friends.
No, I don't think I remember, Jim. Aunt Sophie, who do you think she looks like?
Well, I'd say she favors you a bit. But Sally, Jim was telling you about his friend, dear.
Goodness, do you really think so? I thought when they brought her in yesterday, she looked just like Jim.
Well, anyway, Chet was one of my best friends. Oh, you'll like him. He's a good boy. And he wants us to have dinner with him the very first night you're able to go out.
Oh, it'll be ages before I can leave the baby. Tell me about everybody at home, Aunt Sophie. Were they all surprised that Betsy is a girl? We'd called her him for so long.
No, we weren't exactly surprised. Awfully excited, of course, when the operator said Capital City was calling. Rich kept shouting, "Am I an aunt or an uncle?"
Over and over. Until your father had a chance to find out whether it was a boy or girl.
That's my little brother, all right.
Oh, and Peggy was so delighted it's a girl. She said, "Oh, girls are much more fun to dress."
That sounds like our Peg.
And I think your father was glad, too. He said, "It'll seem like old times to have a little girl playing dolls in the attic again."
Bless him. When are they coming to see us?
Soon. Dan says he'd rather see the baby when she's a little older. He says they all look alike when they're brand new.
Well, not Betsy. Does she, Jim? She has a world of personality.
Sure, of course. Say, Sal, we've had another change in the building. New people in the second floor apartment. And the gals are all agog over the woman. It seems that she...
That's so? Babies do have personality. I don't care what people think. And Betsy definitely is an extrovert.
Jim was telling us about the new people in your apartment, dear.
Oh, sure. Nobody seems to stay long, so it doesn't matter what they're like.
Oh. Well, I guess it doesn't at that. I just thought you'd be interested. You always have been.
Oh, of course I'm interested. Oh, the gang at the house will be crazy about Betsy.
Say, I guess we'd better get along. It's almost the end of the visiting hour anyway, and Aunt Sophie's tired. She was on the train all afternoon, and she's going back tomorrow.
Well, you're not Aunt Sophie. Well, why don't you stay for a couple of days? Then you could see the baby some more.
No, I came to see her, and I've seen her. And she's beautiful. So I'll be going back in the morning.
I'm awfully glad you came.
I'll see you tomorrow afternoon, Sally, darling. It's my afternoon off, remember?
Oh, that's wonderful, Jim. You'll be here when they bring the baby in.
Uh-huh. Well, bye, Sally.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye.
You're awfully glum, young man. And on such a beautiful night.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking back when I ought to be thinking forward, I suppose.
Oh, I don't know. It's good to look back, if we don't do it too often. Let's sit on this bench ahead of us here for a few minutes and enjoy the evening.
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, certainly is spring-like this evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just about this time of the year when Sally and I met. I remember that forsythia was ready to bloom.
You'd just come to Midland, hadn't you?
Mm-hmm. It was at a dance. Sally said that for her, the beginning of the year wasn't January 1st, but in the spring when the forsythia blooms.
I feel a little the same way.
You know what I did? I swiped a branch of forsythia for Sally. And the next day, I sent her a great big bunch from the florist.
Oh, I remember how starry-eyed Sally was all that spring. We knew something important was going on.
It was a beginning for us, all right. In a way, that all seems a long time ago. Only 2 years, actually, but an awful lot's happened. Now, we've had a lot of fun, just Sally and me together.
Yes, I know you have.
Remember that vacation we decided to take on the spur of the moment?
And when you reached the resort, the hotel was closed? Sally told me about it.
Oh, we had just as much fun as if things had worked out right. And another time we... Well, I guess that's all over now.
Well, things will be a little different for a while, anyway.
I'll say. You heard Sally. She doesn't talk or think about anything except the baby, the baby, the baby.
But, Jim, I thought you...
Oh, sure, I like the baby, too. I'm crazy about her, and I want to be a good father. I've got a book about it, but... Well, gee, Sally says we can't even go out to dinner with Chet Lawton. Looks like our life is going to be pretty limited, to say the least. Well, I guess we better move along toward the bus.
We've a little time yet. Let's walk slowly. The baby is a different kind of responsibility than any you've ever had before.
She sure is.
But you'll have new pleasures to take the place of the old. Deeper pleasures.
Sure, I know that. But Sally's so awfully different. She's not like the same girl.
I don't think she's really changed so much, Jim. You just give her a little time.
Oh, you're right. It's just that I... And look, forsythia bush, just about ready to bloom. I'm going to swipe a branch from the valley.
Oh, it's a good full bush. It can spare a branch from the far side there.
Oh, no, I guess I won't bother after all. Probably Sally wouldn't care anything about it anyway. She's forgotten all about that forsythia branch I swiped for at the dance.
I doubt if she has forgotten, Jim.
Oh, I wouldn't blame her. It's been a long time and so much has happened. Do you really think...
Take that branch, that one over there.
Well, I know what I'll do. I'll come back tomorrow and pick it up on the way to the hospital, and then it'll be fresh.
Jim,
Don't
change your mind.
Okay, maybe... Say, we'd better get over to the bus stop. What time does your train leave in the morning?
Well, I've decided I won't go until the 5:45 tomorrow evening.
Well, then I'll see you at the hospital tomorrow afternoon.
No, I won't get back to the hospital. I have a little business to attend to. I tell you, though, if you'd like to come by for me after visiting hours and take me to the train...
Sure, that'll work out just right. I say, here comes our bus. I'll run and hold it.
So the next afternoon, Sally had only one visitor at the hospital, Jim.
Hey, you're sitting on the side of the bed with your feet hanging over. That's wonderful. Can you get up?
No, silly. I'm only dangling today.
Dangling? What an expression.
Uh-huh. And I've got to lie back down now. Help me, will you, dear?
Okay. Yeah, I'll lift your feet up. Cover you up. Yeah, how's that?
Swell. Oh, I'm so glad you came. I was lonesome with nobody to talk to but nurses and babies.
You were? Well, how's Bets?
Oh, she's fine.
Well, just a minute. I left something by the door. Here, look, I brought you this.
Forsythia. Oh, Jim, and it's in bloom.
Mm-hmm. I swiped it for you on the way over here.
Oh, I love it. I'd rather have it than a dozen orchids. It's our flower.
Well, I thought you might like it, but I wasn't sure.
Well, you're sure now, I hope. It's our lucky flower. It's always meant the beginning of things for us. And it always will. Lots and lots of things for you and me together.
Of course, darling. I don't know why I ever worried.
Well, that reminds me. I wish you'd bring me a couple of fashion magazines the next time you come. The real lush kind. I haven't paid a bit of attention to what people are wearing this spring, and I'll have to get a new dress right away before we can go to dinner with your friend. What's his name?
Oh, Chet Lawton?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and whatever the magazines say, get a blue dress, will you? I like you best in blue.
All right. You know, we planned and planned for this baby, but... We forgot one awfully important thing.
We did?
We forgot to line up a sitter. And, gee, we couldn't leave Betsy with anybody who isn't thoroughly reliable. But we do have to leave her once in a while.
Well, I'll talk to Mrs. Hackett. She'll probably know somebody.
Uh-huh. Well, say, tell me about the new people. The ones in the second floor apartment.
Oh, well, the gals in the building are all agog over the woman. It seems she... Say, Sal, what's happened to you? You've changed overnight. You're more like, well, like yourself today.
I guess it was the forsythia, Jim. It reminded me of so many things we've done together. It sort of started me thinking of the things we're going to do together, too.
Return to our story in just a moment. But right here, I'd like... Wait a minute. That sounds as if Sally's baby has a word or two to say. What's that again? Oh, I see. You say that any new mother can get a wonderful free 64-page baby book packed with up-to-date information on the care and training of a baby? Well, that's right. And to get this free book approved by a leading baby doctor, just print your name and address and the word baby book on a penny postcard and send it to Mary Lee Taylor, care of the station to which you are listening, or to the address you'll be given a little later in this program. Now, back to our story.
late, Aunt Sophie, but we can hop a cab and make it all right.
Oh, of course, Jim. You really didn't need to come for me at all, but I'm glad you did. I want to know how Sally is.
Well, Sally's fine. She's swell.
And if you got the forsythia branch there in good shape.
Yeah, I did. It blossomed out during the night. Sally liked it, too.
Oh, say,
I was sort of a stoop, griping like I did last night. Just forget it, huh, Aunt Sophie?
Of course. It's a strain becoming a father. It's enough to get any man a little upset.
Yeah. Oh, say, by the way, Sally sent you a note. I got it here somewhere. Oh, here.
Oh, thank you.
Well, aren't you going to read it? I mean, what in the world would she be sending you a note about?
Well, it's just a goodbye note, I guess. I'll read it on the train. Dear Aunt Sophie, I can't thank you enough for your note. In the foggy state I was in, I'd forgotten how lonesome and out of things Jim is bound to be feeling
these days. I might even have forgotten how much the forsythia means to Jim and me. And I'd have never forgiven myself if I'd hurt Jim that way. Being Betsy's mother is so new and big to me that it absorbed all my thoughts, I guess. Jim needs me as much as the baby does. And being Jim's wife is big and important, too. I won't forget that again. Really, I won't. So I do thank you,
Aunt Sophie, for staying over a whole day just to tip me off about the forsythia and how Jim felt about it. Your devoted Sally.
Almost anything can happen in the life of a young couple just learning what it means to be parents. And I'm sure you won't want to miss next Saturday's story called Sally Comes Home. But right now, back again to the Pet Mill Kitchen.
Oh, just a minute, Mary Lee. I know our listeners want to know how to make that apricot upside-down cake of yours and want to hear about the meal you've planned around this terrific dessert. But first, I think we ought to say something more about our brand new recipe collection. After all, this book is even newer than the Carter baby.
Yes, and it includes just the kind of recipes our listeners have told me they like best. Recipes for easy-to-fix food you can serve for everyday meals. So do send for this helpful book today. Just print your name and address and the words New Ideas on a postcard and send the card to me, Mary Lee Taylor.
Or to Pet Milk, St. Louis, Zone 1, Missouri.
And now let's plan the sort of family meal that you might want to serve when you have apricot upside-down cake for dessert.
Well, how much are we going to spend on this meal, Mary Lee?
Just about $2.43, including the cake. And there'll be some cake left over for lunch or supper the next day.
Good enough. So, what'll we have first?
We'll start with pork chops. And there's a delicious new way you can fix pork chops. You'll find the recipe on page 5 of our new book.
Mm-hmm. And with the chops?
We'll serve fluffy mashed potatoes and a combination of carrots and peas.
Any salad?
Yes, a mixed green salad. And hot biscuits with pet butter spread.
And apricot upside down cake with coffee and pet milk and sugar.
That's right. And no one could want a more satisfying meal than that.
No, but I'll bet a lot of people want to know how to make the apricot upside down cake.
And here's how you do it. First, melt 4 tablespoons butter or margarine.
Melt 4 tablespoons butter or margarine.
Mm-hmm. In an 8-inch skillet.
An 8-inch skillet. Oh, that means measured straight across the bottom?
That's right. Then, right on top of the melted butter or margarine, sprinkle 1 cup of brown sugar.
Sprinkle 1 cup brown sugar. Mmm, sounds good already.
Doesn't it? Next, arrange on top of the sugar 18 drained canned apricot halves.
18 drained canned apricot halves. And when you turn the cake upside down, all this good sugar and fruit and stuff's on top.
You're catching on fast, Bill. Now, the next step is to sift into a bowl the following ingredients.
Now, wait a second now. Sift into bowl. Okay, what gets sifted?
1 1/3 cups of sifted cake flour.
You sift that twice, huh?
Yes. Before you measure it, and again when you add it to the other ingredients.
Okay. 1 1/3 cup sifted cake flour.
2 teaspoons baking powder.
2 teaspoons baking powder. All right.
3/4 cup of white sugar.
3/4 cup white sugar. All these things get sifted?
That's right. Also, 1/4 teaspoon salt.
1/4 teaspoon salt. Okay, something else?
Then, add all at once these ingredients.
Add all at once. What, Mary Lee?
1 unbeaten egg.
1 unbeaten egg. Mm-hmm. What else?
1/4 cup soft shortening.
1/4 cup soft shortening. Yep.
1 teaspoon vanilla.
1 teaspoon vanilla. Yes, ma'am.
1/4 cup pet milk.
Aha, at last. 1/4 cup pet milk. Good, stay sweet, double rich pet milk.
And 1/4 cup of water.
And 1/4 cup water. Okay, then what do we do?
You beat that mixture for just 2 minutes. Then pour it over the apricots in the skillet.
Beat 2 minutes and pour over apricot in skillet. Oh, now we've got a cake.
Not until we bake it.
Oh.
So add this direction. Bake in a moderately slow oven, 350 degrees.
Bake in moderately slow oven, 350 degrees. Okay.
For 40 minutes or until the cake shrinks from the sides of the skillet.
40 minutes. Okay, but come on, let's get that cake out of the oven. I'm getting hungry.
Well, as a matter of fact, the cake should be taken from the oven and turned out of the skillet the very minute it's finished, so that the fruit and sugar mixture won't stick to the bottom of the skillet. And by the way, that recipe can be used in any altitude up to 3,000 feet. If you live in a higher altitude, do write for the specially adjusted recipe.
And be sure to tell Mary Lee the altitude at which you live and the name of the recipe you want.
And now some helpful tips. Be sure to get out all your ingredients before you start on the first step of the recipe. And be sure to turn on your oven before you do any mixing. This cake must be started in a preheated oven, not a cold one. Another thing, do adjust the oven shelves so you can bake the cake as near the center of your oven as possible.
And do remember to use pet milk, just as Mary Lee Taylor's recipe directs. Because even when pet milk is mixed with an equal amount of water, as it is in that recipe, it's still a richer milk than the milk generally sold in bottles. And the reason it's richer is that undiluted pet milk is actually a little more than twice as rich as ordinary milk. Well, now that's my contribution. Any other words of wisdom you want to add, Mary Lee?
Yes. You'll remember, the recipe said to beat the cake batter for only 2 minutes. But you really must put your heart into it and beat vigorously. And be sure to scrape the bowl often during the mixing to get the batter that clings to the sides down into the center of the bowl.
And I suppose you can use your strong right arm for that beating job, or if you're lucky, an electric beater.
Mm-hmm. And although an iron skillet is the best thing to bake the cake in, you can use a deep 8-inch cake pan if you haven't a skillet. And by deep, I mean at least 2 inches deep.
You know, Mary Lee, we should have dedicated today's program to all our friends in Colorado. Remember, you told me the other day that upside-down cake is a favorite picnic dessert in Colorado.
Oh, yes. I got that bit of news from my friend Nell Nichols. I must remember to send Nell one of our new recipe books.
And now I'd better remind all of you listening to send for your free copy of this new book called New Ideas for Everyday Meals, because it's jam-packed with recipes for good, homey food, the kind your family never gets tired of. Just write Mary Lee Taylor, care of this station, or Pep Milk, St. Louis, Zone 1, Missouri, and say you want the book New Ideas.
And when you go to your favorite grocery store, do look for the Pep Milk display and help yourself to one of the handy take-home recipe folders featured with that display.
Right. And now before Mary Lee Taylor gives you today's recipe for happiness, let me remind you that tonight's the night to hear Vic Damone on Pep Milk's Big Half-Hour Musical Show with Kay Armon, the Serenaders, and Gus Henson and his Pet Milk Orchestra. So listen tonight over most of these same NBC stations.
And do be on hand next Saturday morning for our next exciting story about the Carter family and for our recipe of the week for a salad that even your men folks will enjoy.
And now, today's recipe for happiness.
Take time to say a kindly word. You pass this way but once. And now, until next Saturday, this is Mary Lee Taylor saying goodbye and happy homemaking.
Goodbye, Mary Lee Taylor, and good luck and good health to all of you from Pep Milk, the first evaporated milk. Today's story was written by Jane Spencer and directed by Al Chance. Now, a quick reminder. Next Wednesday is Army Day, the day to visit the Army post nearest you. Get better acquainted with your United States Army, part of the team for security. Del King speaking.